And in the cafeteria, there is a delightful new addition to the salad bar, turnip greens and dandelions. Give it a try for health. Principal Talbot asked me to remind you to remind your mom and or dad or applicable guardian to the parent/teacher conferences this Thursday/Friday. Should you forget this reminder, we will send a reminder home with you so your mom/dad/guardian will be systematically reminded. Well, that's all the reminders I have for you this morning. Wait, one more note. Just hand it to me, and it's in the form of a chair. Let me give this the old college try. Go, Mo 2.0. The time is right. Let's start the show. Where you're headed, you don't know, so go, Mo 2.0. Oh, I do feel more cheery. Now get out there and learn something. For as Maya Angelou once said, when you know better, you do better. That's all for now.
Welcome to the Misfits audio presentation of Dudley Junction, Head in the Clouds. Mr. Donovan has been given a former storage room in the basement of Dudley Junction Junior High. In that room, he's been developing technological experiments he has hoped would help students want to learn. Some have been a failure.
Yes, like the Run While You Read program. And while I believe in multitasking, I certainly learned that run and then read was a much better choice.
Mr. Donovan recently enlisted 3 students to help with his latest history experiment, recently renamed Mo 2.0.
That stands for Mystery on History. The students named it. Mine was a rather long name that even I've forgotten.
So Dex, Mason, and Bailey...
Oh, they're here. You should probably go. It'd be a little strange having you here telling people every little thing we do.
But I...
Yes, but you'll be back at the end to tell us who did what and how well they did, and I'm certain you'll do a great job. This is no reality TV show, sir. So, bye for now.
Mr. Donovan?
Good morning, Bailey.
So, where are we going today?
Wherever the wind blows, Dex, wherever the wind blows.
What does that mean?
Well, it's a simple question, but all right. That is a word used to identify a specific person or thing observed by the speaker. In this case, that's you seeking to identify what I'm talking about.
No, I didn't need a definition of the word that. I just wanted to know what the clue, wherever the wind blows, meant.
Ah, now there's a clear question deserving a clear answer, but not right now. At the moment, it's time for a Mo 2.0 calibration pretest. The title of this test should give you a hint.
Aero cars?
Yes, I believe in giving enormous hints, apparently. Unless I choose not to. Begin. The good news is each of you answered at least some questions correctly. I hadn't anticipated that by giving you a choice between 3 historic possibilities, it would cause you to actually research the topic.
Well, it was actually kind of fun.
Oh, we can't have that. Learning is supposed to be serious, difficult, boring, obnoxious, and extremely tedious.
That's what I always thought, too. Well, until...
Until what?
Until, well... The last time I was in your lab.
That's the way it was for me too, Mr. Donovan.
Well, you do realize that the only reason you're back is because you passed your Revolutionary War test.
We had a reason to pass, Mr. Donovan. Who wouldn't want to go on these adventures?
Well, if it's all about reward, at least it's a start.
So, what about the adventure?
First the ground rules, and then 3 Revolutionary War questions. When you're in Mo 2.0, realize it is a holographic chamber. Nothing in the program is real except you 3, and on occasion a visit from me. Nothing can hurt you in the program, and we've only got 20 minutes before your next class, so we should get started.
You mentioned questions?
In order to enter the program, you will need to each answer a question on the Revolutionary War. First question goes to Bailey. During the Revolutionary War, the colonial citizens were fighting for what?
Freedom from... England?
Is that a question or a statement?
Statement?
You are correct! You may engage phase 1 by pressing this button. Dex, you have question number 2. Who was the commander of the American Armed Forces?
That's easy. George Washington.
Yes, perhaps that was too easy. However, you are correct. Please throw this switch for phase 2. But now, Mason, here is your question. What was the third largest city in the colonies during the Revolutionary War?
The third largest city? I'm pretty certain that that wasn't covered on the test.
It wasn't, but I had to ensure I asked a really hard question. Let me mark that off my to-do list. Ask really hard question about the Revolutionary War. Done. Now on to your real question. Why were the British soldiers called Redcoats?
It's because, Oh, it's because of the color of their uniforms. They were red.
Well done, Mason, well done. Now, if you would type in the first five letters of your grandmother's maiden name, we can send you on your way.
The first five letters?
Of your grandmother's maiden name.
On my mom's side or my dad's?
Well, the truth is, it doesn't really matter. The computer just needs five letters to start the program. Let me make it easy. Just type in your name.
Done.
Well then, into the photo booth, smile for the camera, and hang on for a fun ride in the Aero car. Oh, and don't forget your time calibration watch.
Got it. Thanks.
What year is it, Mason?
1959.
Hello. You must be the children the school sent over.
That's us.
Nice to meet you. The name's Ed Sweeney. You can call me Ed. I work with Mr. Taylor on his aero car. You can call him Mr. Taylor. And you are?
Bailey.
Mason.
And I'm Malta Dextrose.
Just call him Dex.
Well, Bailey Mason and Dex, Mr. Taylor has landed, so you can meet him shortly.
Ah, we have guests.
Yes, we do, Mr. Taylor. This is Bailey, Mason, and Dex.
Pleased to meet you. Are you young scientists, then?
Maybe, but mostly we're historians.
Well, then you came to the right place, because I believe history will be made with my little aero car. Ed, help me with the wings and tail section. As you can see, the wings and tail can easily be removed, and what you are left with is...
an unusual-looking car.
That is true, but I had to make modifications if this vehicle was to be able to both fly and drive. Now, usually the rear wheels are used to push a car forward, but I moved the engine to the back of the car and use it to push the car forward from the front wheels.
Mr. Taylor, I noticed there's no propeller in the front.
Good eye, Bailey. In the case of my aero car, the propeller is on the back, and it is used to push the vehicle forward. Once the Earth releases its hold, the vehicle can fly faster than 100 miles per hour.
How do you get the propeller to work with the car?
Well, Dex, the easiest answer is to ask a question. Do you know what an electric outlet looks like?
Sure.
Good. Now, look at the license plate on the back of my aero car. There you'll find a hinged bracket. This plate can hinge forward and down, while a tail section can be attached here. This connection is what allows the engine to power both the wheels and the propeller.
Whoa, it looks like you thought of everything.
Imagine, no more traffic. You just attach your wings and fly to your destination.
And it's easy, too. Mr. Taylor let me fly it once. It's not much different than driving a regular car.
You know, kids, I've been at this game for 10 years. I know it works. You've seen it work. The Civil Aeronautics Administration has certified the aero car to be used in the air. Well, there will come a day when people will see the value of my little machine.
This is Guy Paulson in the KISN studios. John Jacobs is in the skies over Portland with a traffic update. John?
Thanks, Guy. It appears all the main roads are busier than usual. Our audience will remember you saying moments ago that a storm is on the way. Well, we are experiencing rough light right now. Many workers are trying to get home before the weather. They may not get home before the rain is starting to fall. along with my pilot, Rouge Wickander. This is John Jacob. Please drive careful.
What year is it, Mason?
Why, it's 1962. Children, we thank you for coming in for a tour today. But because of the weather, we need to go to the basement. We have a studio for just such emergencies.
John, are you and Ruth okay?
We're okay, Guy. We're looking for a place to land. This is getting a bit scary up here.
Guy, we just received reports of wind speeds around 100 miles per hour.
We... not much choice. Desperate. Hold on.
Hello, KISN. This is Guy. Yes. Was there anything left of the aero car? Yes, I'll be sure to let the others know.
Is everything okay?
Ruth was able to land the aero car safely, and they're headed back to Hillsboro Airfield now.
Ladies and gentlemen, with the high-profile landing of the aero car in the Columbus Day storm in Portland and multiple calls and letters, we feel that now is the time to expand and get the aero car out to the people.
Mr. Taylor, we are aware that Hollywood actor Bob Cummings also has an interest in your aero car.
He does? Gentlemen, I have three friends who have joined me. And although I've not seen them in 3 years, they appear no older than when I last saw them. Dex, if you would hold this signboard, please.
Certainly, Mr. Taylor.
Mason, would you hand this model to the chairman of Ling Temco Vought?
We've seen it fly, sir.
Have you now?
We have, and it is probably one of the coolest things you will ever see.
Coolest?
I'm sure the little lady meant most unique.
Yes, that is what I meant.
I'll tell you what, Taylor. We'll build you 1,000 of your aero cars.
Now you're talking. Thank you, sir.
If you can muster up at least 500 orders.
If?
Yes, it's what's called a contingency. I like you, Taylor. I like your idea. It may even be the next best thing since sliced bread. But without buyers, it's just a good idea.
Oh.
Prove you can sell it, and you've got a manufacturer in Ling Temco Vought.
Well, looks as if I have some work to do.
Indeed it does.
The year is 1970, and we have been on a bold mission exploring the world of the Moulton Taylor aero car. When we left Mr. Taylor, he was trying to get 500 orders on his aero car. The question is, did he succeed?
What are you doing?
Talking into his watch.
When you say it like that, it seems like a bad idea.
Can I help you?
Is something wrong?
You look just like someone I used to know. Couldn't be. They were your age, years ago. Well then, can I help you?
Yes, sir. We've been working on a report, and we were curious if you had been able to manufacture your aero car after working with Ling Temco Vought in 1962.
Sadly, no. There really have been only a handful of aero cars I have been able to build. Lots of interest, to be sure, but very few buyers.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I received orders of just under 300. All in 2 weeks' time, but it wasn't enough to get them built. Recently, the Ford Motor Company had an interest in my latest design, the Aero Car 3.
It looks familiar.
Well, if you ever saw my original design, then it might. You see, this is an Aero Car 1 I purchased from a previous buyer, and I've made modifications that should help make it useful to today's traveler.
What happened?
Oil prices rose, uncertainty in the energy market, and a nervous car company. They all conspired to set my dream aside, for now.
Mason, Bailey, Dex.
What?
Mason, Bailey, Dex.
Oh, I had a ball. Not only are roadways more congested with each passing year, but the airline's hub and spoke system has, over many mid-length routes, actually increased travel times. But that's only part of what inspired flying car designers. It's easy. It practically flies itself. I'll tell you what to do as we go along. Most didn't want to be an advocate of what most people would think of as a harebrained device. If it weren't for us nuts, you'd still be reading from candlelight and wearing button shoes. The flying automobile is the future. Look at it go, boy!
It says he died in 1995.
What happened to the aero car?
Welcome to the museum. In answer to your question, Mr. Taylor worked on an aero car 4 that was built on the Geo Metro platform. You can see one of his original aero cars right here in this museum.
I wish Mr. Taylor had lived to see his dream come true.
As do I.
I'm sorry, I didn't know anyone was here.
No worries. Mr. Taylor was my friend. I come here sometimes just to remember the early days.
Early days?
Mason, what year is it?
2000?
Excuse me, sir, but you seem familiar.
I was just thinking the same thing about you. More than 40 years ago, I met three young people, two boys and one girl, who came to see Mr. Taylor's aero car. My name is Ed Sweeney. You can call me Ed. I wasn't quite 20 when I started working with Mr. Taylor, but I own one of his aero cars, and now I'm working on a new design based on a Lotus automobile.
Are you working with a car company to make them?
Not exactly. I was working to make this a kit that someone can use to convert the car to an aero car. I also don't believe aero cars will be allowed on roads, so the kits are designed to turn the car into an airplane permanently.
But what about Mr. Taylor's plan for all people to be able to fly?
The truth is there are far too many people on the roads to make the aero car something that will work the way Mr. Taylor intended. It had the potential to work that way in the 1950s and even 1960s. But could you imagine what it would be like to have hundreds of aero cars flying across the city?
Oh, that would be epic.
That would also be a recipe for a potential disaster.
So, do you think Mr. Taylor was a pioneer?
Absolutely. But none of us could see that things would be like today back in the 1960s. Circumstances changed. The way we deal with the aero cars had to change. I am honored to carry on his legacy.
Looks like it's time to go.
But we just got here.
Welcome back! Welcome back! Let's talk. So, did this adventure meet your expectations?
Not really. It was all pretty sad.
How so?
Mr. Taylor spent his whole life working on a dream that never became real.
Yes, I can see how that could be troubling.
Yeah. I just thought there'd be a happy ending.
Dex has a point. The Governor's Island adventure had a happy ending.
I hadn't thought about that. Well then, here's today's first history lesson. Not all history lessons have happy endings. Unlike storybooks, we can't control how each story ends. And the best we can do is respond to the lessons we learn from history.
So what did we learn?
That is an exceptionally good question that only you can answer.
Are we supposed to give up on our dreams and live with nothing to show for it?
Again, another great question. So, what's your answer?
Aren't you being a little hard on Bailey?
Oh, I certainly hope not. But when it comes to learning, great answers come from great observation.
What do you mean?
Think back over the story. Do you think Mr. Taylor would have been better off giving up on his dream?
Well, this dream never really happened.
Well, you have a point. But what if I had given up on my dream to create a history holographic chamber?
You have a point.
Yes, I do. So, what is the answer? Good ideas have applications that go far beyond the original intent. For instance, young Ed Sweeney would not have continued the work of the Aerocar if it hadn't been for the work of his mentor, Mr. Taylor. More recently, a man named Steve Saint created his own flying automobile for use in remote locations in foreign countries, where it can take days to get from one location to the next.
So, Mr. Taylor was successful?
Mason, would you please answer your own question?
Yes, he was successful.
Good point, and maybe the best point, especially since we've had so many points lately. Success can come from failure. Mr. Moulton Taylor was inducted into the Experimental Aircraft Hall of Fame. But he wasn't alone, you know, in pursuing success from failure.
He wasn't?
No. Let me name some of the other planes. Car experimental aircraft that were developed by others. Some were not nearly as successful. There was the Boggs Airmaster, which was designed but never built. Then there was the Hervey travel plane, which faced its own set of problems. The Whittaker-Zuck plane mobile. The Robert E. Fulton's FA-3 amphibian that existed only as a prototype. The Hall flying car. And of course, the Corvair.
I've never heard of any of them.
Until today! You never heard of them until today. Now, will you likely forget Mr. Taylor or Ed Sweeney?
I don't think so.
And the last thing these men would want from you is pity. They had a passion, and they followed the passion to the best of their ability. Which leads me to the application phase of today's lesson. What are you passionate about? Now, before you say anything, I don't want an answer today. I want you to take some time and think about what you're passionate enough about to do. Something that others might think is crazy.
Just like Mr. Taylor.
Yes, just like that.
What if I can't think of anything?
Then you need to spend a little more time trying new things to see what interests you. I don't think there's anything worse than going through life wondering why you're here. Honestly, trying a few adventures may be one of the reasons you came for a visit. It can be easy to become cynical and sarcastic when you believe life is without purpose and you will never be able to make a difference. It is my sincere hope that when you're here in my workshop, you will learn that you have a contribution to make. And that contribution may just make its first impression on you.
Wow. And I thought we were just learning about cars that can become planes.
Well, that bit of sarcasm merits the opportunity to answer our first question about Moulton Taylor's aero car. Congratulations!
But thanks.
How many versions of the aero car did Mr. Taylor create?
4.
Nicely played, Mason. Bailey, you're next. What was the name of the young man that not only helped Mr. Taylor with his first aero car, but in the year 2000 continued the tradition by creating his own aero car?
I'll always remember him. Ed Sweeney.
You were paying attention. Dex, you're next. There were 2 manufacturers that showed an interest in manufacturing the aero car. The first was Ling Temco Volt. What manufacturer was the second?
Was that the Ford Motor Company?
That's 3 for 3. Now comes a little moment in our learning excursion I like to call Did You Know?
What does that mean?
These are details about the aero car that I did not put into the program for today's adventure. Okay, here goes. The aero car that was used by radio station KISN for many years was placed for sale at a price of $2.2 million. It no longer flies. One of Mr. Taylor's aero cars was used in a television sitcom known as The New Bob Cummings Show. And finally, Mr. Taylor became the first person to successfully fly a surface-to-surface missile to its target. He also headed the project that produced the first generation of cruise missiles. So, anyone think Mr. Taylor was unsuccessful? What? I can't seem to hear you.
No.
I'm making the call right here, right now. Learning has indeed taken place.
Mr. Donovan?
Yes, Bailey.
How much of that story was real, and how much was made up?
Well, I did the best research I could, so the facts are accurate according to that research. The things each person said contributed to the truth of this history, but there is no way to know exactly what was said. So that part was educated fiction, I suppose.
So do we have a written test to take?
No, but I have asked your regular history teacher to allow you to make a presentation on the history of the aero car in class on Friday.
You what?
Oh, no need to thank me.
I don't think that's what I had in mind.
Good, then you've accepted my condition. No thanks required.
So when do we get to come back?
The good news is, I'm grateful you want to come back. The even better news is, I've streamlined certain aspects of the program so that it takes less time to create the holographic incidences. The bestest better news is that your holographic experiences are being mapped and then placed into a computer animation program I've developed that will allow elementary students here at Dudley Junction the opportunity to see your experiences in an animated feature. In fact, I've already tried it once.
So it's like we're helping you.
You know, I believe you are.
Shouldn't we get paid?
I was hoping to avoid prison. What? It would be a violation of child labor laws to consider you employees.
So what are we doing exactly?
Oh, it's a revolutionary word. Come close. It's called volunteering.
That's what I thought you would say.
Yes, but it does have a nice benefits package.
Oh, yeah. The adventures.
True, but an even more remarkable benefit is the motivation to learn.
Too bad there isn't another adventure we could go on right now.
Well, if you don't mind being stowaways, I do have the first moon landing ready to go.
In the photo booth?
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
I'm going to step off the landing. That's one small step for man. One giant leap for mankind.
Come back soon.
You've been listening to the Misfits audio presentation of Dudley Junction, Head in the Clouds. Our cast includes Glenn Haskell as Mr. Donovan, Monty Klecker as Mason, Ryan Haskell as Dex, Destiny Garza as Bailey, Peter Catt as Moulton Taylor, Josh Svensson as Ed Sweeney, Mark Hinka as Guy Paulson, Blake Carter as John Jacob, Andrea Kuntz as Ruth Wickender, Delvin Kinzer as Bill, Captain John Tatterzak as Older Ed Sweeney. Dudley Junction, Head in the Clouds was written, produced, and mixed by Glenn Haskell, with creative input from Ryan Haskell, Monty Klecker, and Destiny Garza. Executive producer and webmaster, Captain John Tatterzak. Theme music, Call to Adventure by Kevin McLeod of Incompetech.com. Script editor, Cheryl Collins. Dudley Junction, Head in the Clouds was developed to salute those brave individuals who sought better ways to battle the daily commute. In the process, they encouraged people to talk about things as they might one day be. The aero car was very real, and both Moulton Taylor and Ed Sweeney were captured by the notion that a car and a plane were not mutually exclusive. This production is for enjoyment purposes only. Any similarities to historical figures was intended, although dialogue and the remaining characters were entirely fictional. I'm your narrator, Bill Carl. This is an original production by Misfits Audio. Copyright 2016, all rights reserved.